What is it to be a disciple?
A follower.
What is discipleship?
To become more like Jesus. To become more like Jesus.
Our passage that we're going to start off with, there's a lot of scripture here. I always love the scripture because it's never wrong. Okay? So I stand on that. And Hebrews 12 is where we're going to start. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3, the words are there. I'm not sure if it's going to correspond, but we'll read it from up there. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. We are running a race. If we look at the scripture and we go back to biblical times, I'll stay away from that side, it seems to be echoing over there. Racing was very important. They had the Colosseum and they would have a big race going on and there'd be 70 and 80,000 fans. And what would they be doing? They'd be cheering them on. And even with the Olympics, the modern day Olympics, great emphasis on racing and setting aside, taking off, you know, you take away all the heavy stuff and you just wear a pair of shorts, a shirt, and the people are cheering you on. They're cheering on. And so I took comfort from this passage because, first of all, in verse 1, it says, we have so great a cloud of witnesses. So when we grow weary and grow tired, there are those witnesses that are cheering you on. The third verse says that Jesus is up above and he's praying for you and me. So do not grow weary. Do not grow disheartened. People behind us. We got our brothers and sisters behind us. If we know that we're starting to slip and slide, go to your brothers and sisters. Ask for prayer. Ask for that. In this passage, there are two different words to describe those things that slow us down and create, that become obstacles in our lives. And the first one is weights. Now, weights are not necessarily sin all the time. But what happens with weights, they often become baggage. And we take that baggage with us and we carry it for years and years and years. And you know when the first bit of baggage gets put on us is when we're children. Our parents put baggage on us. These are maybe some of the conversations. I wish. These are some of the conversations maybe as a child. Oh, I wish you had been a boy and not a girl. You're not as cute as your sister. You're not as smart as your brother. You really disappointed me. The old phrase, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. What a lie. As children, we start carrying that suitcase. And unless we are taught, and unless we turn it over to God, we're going to carry that into our adulthood. And we'll always have that feeling of rejection. We'll always have that feeling of a poor self-image. And then they say it gets into the suitcase. We're going to open the suitcase in a few minutes. But as I was studying this and reading on it, I come across the story of a pastor who had a big church, had a thriving church. It was doing really well. He was on top of the world. But you know what? There was something inside him. There was just this nagging thing that was holding him down. And he prayed about it. Just couldn't get released from that thing. Can you relate to that? You have that weight on you and you just feel like, what am I going to do? Like, so what he did is he had four of his friends meet him in Colorado. And he said to them, guys, I need an answer. I'm going to tell you everything about me, whether it's good, bad, or different. I'm going to share it with you. And then I want the four of you to agree and come back to me with what you hear from God, because I'm just not hearing it. So he shared his story. The next morning they got up, had breakfast, talked some more. And one of the guys said to him, "Put your head down and close your eyes." So of course he puts his head down, closes his eyes. He says, "I see your father picking you up and hugging you." And he started to cry. Part of the story, he had told him he had lost his dad at 9 months of age and never had a father figure. So then he said, "What do you feel?" And he just kept crying. So after a while, he says, "What do you feel?" He says, "I feel God's arms around me, hugging me. I feel security. I feel peace. I have safety." And he broke again and broke again. He was a pastor preaching the love of God, but not experiencing the love of God because he had the baggage of not having a father. Dads, don't run out on your families. Your families need you, and your wife needs you. And if you've been depositing negative stuff into your kids, please repent of it and start depositing positive stuff into them. Really, amen. Good preaching. Woo! Anyways, so that is some of the things we wrestle with, right? So first of all, we get into, like I mentioned, those weights, and they start holding us back, and then they get into garbage, into baggage, and we carry them all our lives. And then there's the fear of failure. And that's sometimes the conversation our parents have with us. You'll never exceed, you'll never become much. And you know what? Sometimes the things that they deposit in our lives, we carry them into our Christian walk, and we have that same mentality because we don't really have an understanding of Jesus and our Heavenly Father. And we just don't feel the love of our Heavenly Father because we haven't felt the love of our earthly Father. And so we need to just get rid of these weights. This might be another weight that you're carrying around. A victim of mental or emotional abuse. Maybe you're carrying the weight of sexual abuse. Maybe you're be the victim of spiritual abuse. That one I kind of want to touch on. Sometimes, you know what? Things happen. Things happen in the world. Things happen in the church. And sometimes we get offended a little bit easy. And sometimes we perceive it as spiritual abuse. And so we get a little upset. I'm not talking about anybody here. And we leave the church. And we go to another church. And everything's pretty rosy for the first month or two. And then someone didn't say hi to me. Pastor didn't notice me. Didn't ask me to do this. And then we carry that suitcase, that baggage, from church to church to church, and we never deal with it. And we as Christians need to get rid of the baggage if we want to go forth and fulfill the destiny that God has called us to. Why do we as Christians get offended so easily? Why? It's the tool of the enemy to hold you back from your destiny in Christ. It is. It will hold you down. Forgive and forget. Because you know what? Many times what we perceived as an offense was never intended to be an offense. It was just because we were tired and didn't have a good night's sleep. We played video games all night, or we stayed up all night. We didn't. And so all of a sudden, we just can't handle nothing. Right? Sometimes the weights get heavy when we don't get our proper rest. And I read a little thing. It says you should get 7 to 8 hours of rest tonight. Stay strong mentally and spiritually. Because when you are tired is when the enemy is going to come in there. And he's going to the enemy's in the recycling business. He really is. Because he likes to recycle the old garbage and bring it up. You know what? You ask Jesus to forgive you, and Jesus forgives you. But yet, he'll bring it back up. What do you do with it? You get down, bogged down again. So offense has got to go. Oh. How about a negative attitude? It's got to go. You know, it was a sunny day today, but you know what? It's a really beautiful day today, but it's going to snow tonight. Like, it's going to snow in an hour. Like, everything's negative. Who wants to be around negative people? Do you? No. We want people that are going to be positive. Oh, we'll throw that one too. Oh, perfectionism. Everything has just got to be so perfect, so I don't want to do anything because I might goof up. I might fail. That's going to hold you back from doing what God wants you to do. Right? Oh, what about this? Suspicious attitude. That can be a weight. So I give you something, and you're automatically suspicious. Oh, what do they want? Right? What favor do they want from me? And you're always suspicious about other people. And that holds you back from developing proper relationships. Throw it away. Almost got you. Now this one, if we're honest, come on, it affects us all. I'm going to just take this one right across. Worry. 90%+ of the things we worry about never happen. But you know what? They get our focus off God. And that's why it's there. And you know, and that's just a few of them. We could go on and on. That's just a few. But it's those things that ensnare us. It's those things that hold us back from completing and finding that destiny that Christ has for us. The next one. If we look at that verse, if we can go back to verse 1. Thank you. So he says, let us lay aside every weight. So every weight could be any hindrances, any encumbrances, anything that would ensnare us, hold us back from running that race that will slow us down. And then he says, and the sin. The sin. Now here he's not talking about sin in general, but he's talking about specific sins. And that specific sin might be something different for each and every one of us in this room. I'm sure we're all wrestling with a sin. Yes? No? He who has no sin? Anyways. But that sin is different from all of us. And you know, the enemy somehow knows that point of weakness, and he keeps causing that area to be a problem. Might be unforgiveness. You know, you just got unforgiveness and you're just going to hang on to it. You know what? The other person, it's not affecting them any. If you forgive, you're going to forget, release yourself. But that's some Christians hang on that over some of the stupidest things. We got to let go. Thank you. A critical spirit. All we do is criticize. That could be the sin. The tongue could be the sin. And that tongue could be one thing for one person, one for another. Maybe we use our tongue for gossiping, and that's the thing. You know, we're battling. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. You know, it was a prayer request that came to me, and, you know, it was supposed to be in confidence. Well, I had to go share it with somebody else. And, you know, and then God says to you, that was supposed to be in confidence. And you say, well, I just thought I was doing the right thing. Well, sometimes we got to. The tongue. It could be swearing. Some people may have problems with swearing. Others have a problem with telling dirty jokes. And that might be the sin that they have to deal with or wrestle with. Jealousy. Jealous spirit. Some people are jealous of everybody else around them. They see a new car next door and, oh, I got to get a new car. Or they got a new house, I got to get a new house. And it's a jealous spirit. And it's some people wrestle with that. Bitterness. He said, let there be no root of bitterness dwell up inside of you. Again, we could be bitter about what daddy and mommy did to us 40, 50, 60 years ago. But you know what? It's time to let go of it because it's holding you down. And in most cases, in my case, my dad and mom are both dead. So it's time to let go. Past is the past. We're going to go to the finish line. They're already at the finish line. Okay? Because you know what? We look at daddy and mommy, you know what? They had baggage as well. And you know what? The problem is they never got the preaching that you're getting this morning to get rid of the baggage. They carried it for 80 years, 90 years. The hate. And you know, especially people that were in the war. A lot of people that were in the war, and they ended up having to do things that, you know what, they really didn't want to do. They carried that garbage and that baggage for years and years. And they, some of them lived with that guilt for years and years. Unfortunately, some of them didn't let it go, and they went to the grave with it. But it's time for us to let go of those things that so easily beset us and cause us to go down. The love of money can be a sin that could really get us down. Love of things, it can. How do we overcome these besetting sins? How do we overcome them? First of all, we need to admit to that sin and confess that sin and then repent to that sin. We need to confess it and then repent of it. A lot of time we do the confessing, we just don't do the repenting. What do we mean by repentance? Turning it around. Stop doing it. Are you going to do it again down the road? You might, but you get back up. God knows your heart. He knows if you're really trying. He will give you the strength. So we need to learn to hunger for holiness and to hate sin. Second, thirdly, or whatever, I must be convinced my Heavenly Father loves me in spite of my sin. And that's the positive thing. He loves you in spite of your sin. Despite us falling and falling short of the glory of God, which we do, He loves us. He wants us to come back home. He wants us to come back into His arms. The fourth thing I need to do is I need to accept the loving help that my Father gives me. And that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't only convict us of our sin, but it empowers us to walk a victorious, glorious life. He helps us complete the race in confidence. Now, this is not a message to bring condemnation. So just trust me, this is not a condemnation message. This is not a down-in-the-mouth message. But this is a message of hope and victory. Because you know what? Christmas is coming in about 3 weeks. The greatest gift you can give yourself today is to get rid of the baggage, the garbage, and the weights. And you'll have the greatest Christmas that you ever had. Amen. There's a call to holiness for the church today. We don't hear that a lot in the general message of the church in general. But there is. There's a call to holiness. And I'm not talking about a bunch of do's and don'ts. We're talking about an attitude of holiness from the heart. It's an attitude. In Hebrews 12:2, the scripture says to fix our eyes on Jesus. If you notice that in verse 2, fix our eyes on Jesus. Jesus needs to be our measuring stick. Not the pastor, not the deacons, not the board, not the televangelists, not your brothers and sisters, but Jesus. He is the perfect measuring stick. Because if I measure myself up, and Don, don't take this wrong, I measure myself up to Don. Well, Don does this, this, and this, so I can do this, this, and this. Roger does this and this, so what am I measuring myself up to? Nothing. Don't take that wrong. But you know what I mean. If I measure up to Jesus, you know, I'm saying, Jesus, I need you. We sang that song this morning, Shekinah Glory. That's a beautiful song. But you know what? If we get that, really gets a hold of us, we're not going to play church anymore. And we're not going to play around with sin anymore. We're going to get walking for Jesus 100%. We're going to change a whole lot of things in our lives if we really get a hold of that Shekinah glory. 1 Peter 1:14 to 16 says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all the manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now you might be saying, I quit. There's no way I can measure up to that. You're right, there is no way you can measure up to that. But your heart wants to measure up to that. And that's what Jesus looks at, is the heart wants to measure up. Another passage says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man is see the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness to the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. I got to rush here a little bit. I notice our time's flying here. Remember, we need to have an attitude of holiness, one that hates sin and loves God. Romans 12, 1 and 2, a scripture that we're well aware of. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. And what he was talking about for them, it was the Mosaic laws, and it was the Jewish church. And for us, it could be secular humanism, it could be me mentality that we have in our society, the instant, you know, fixes we have. So it's a little bit different. And our day of, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or discern what is the will of God, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The Phillips paraphrase says, don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold. Don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold. If we look at the church in general, in America and across the world, the church is conforming to this world. It is. On a personal note, are we having an effect at school, on our coworkers, on people in our families? Or are they having an effect on us and pulling us down? And I think about school and I feel for the kids. I remember going into high school. I went to the Christian school for 8 years or whatever, and that was fine. Once I went to high school, back whatever number of years ago, they were into drugs and they were into all that stuff. But you know, I lived kind of a lonely experience because I didn't get involved in that. The guy at work the other day, he says, you mean you never smelled marijuana before? I go, no. He kind of laughed at me because I stayed away from that stuff. But it's a lonely road. And so we really need to pray for our young people, that they find friends, they come to the youth group, every opportunity they have, because they need to be held up in prayer to hold their hands up high for them, because they really need that. But what Paul really was saying in Ephesians 4:23, he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So he's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's not talking about the baptism of the Spirit, but he's talking about the spirit of your mind. And I think the NIV says the attitude of your mind. And so we are in a reprogramming. We need to reprogram our minds so that we're not thinking on crappy stuff, negative stuff. And I got three suitcases here, and I don't know about you. Have you ever watched the show Baggage? Have you ever heard of it? Okay. So I used to watch it. You know, what it was a guy and three girls. And they had three different size suitcases, and there was bits of garbage in each one of them. Facts about them, things that they had done wrong, whatever. And he would pick one of them at the end. That person could pick the guy because he had three pieces of garbage as well. Right? And so the thing was, I was watching that, and I thought, and I can't tell you exactly, but the Lord says, that's a bunch of garbage coming into your mind. So it was time to stop. Because you know what time this show was on? I think 10 o'clock at night. So it was 10 or 11. So that wasn't very good going with all that garbage to bed. So sometimes we have to make those decisions to turn the knob, turn the channel, reprogram us, get gospel music on instead of that rock and roll, worldly music, all that good, wonderful country western music that has you in bed with everybody else. Oh, we just clap our hands. We love it. Listen to the words. Listen to what it's saying to you. Amen. We worry about our young people. Come on, adults. We've got to watch what we're doing. Amen. If we watch what we're doing, they're going to watch what they're doing. So the last part of it was about thoughts. How many thoughts do you have in a day? A lot of thoughts in a day. Some say 20,000 thoughts a day. Some say 40,000 thoughts a day. Some say 50,000 thoughts a day. And the one guy says, if you got to figure a couple has 100,000 thoughts between each other, no wonder they get lost. You know, like, not every thought is bad. Don't take me wrong. Obviously, not all thoughts are bad. But there's some thoughts that we need to manage. You know, is temptation sin? No. But once we fulfill that temptation, then it becomes sin. So a thought comes into our mind, and I'm not going to use a sin one on this. Let's work on, okay, so I get a thought in my mind, poor self-image. So I rebuke that thought in the name of Jesus. I cast that thought down. It's done. I don't want nothing to do with it. Or, poor little old me. The kids were bad and everyone's bad. I'm not a good father. I'm not a good mother. I'm not this. I'm not that. And then that thing gets into our spirit and it cripples us. And that's where we have to get by. We got to control our mind. It's, you know, and this, I'm going to pick on the ladies on this. They're having their Bible study on Tuesday mornings. This handsome guy walks by. Joan Jones looks up and goes, that's a nice, handsome young man. And that's the acknowledgement. And that's it. So, my honey, who's young and vibrant, says, oh, that's a nice looking guy. And then in her mind, an argument goes on. I wonder what life would be like with him. Oh, maybe I'll trade him, my husband, in. And then it becomes sin because I've acted on that thought. Guys, we always get picked on for that one, so I figured I was going to reverse it today. But it's true. We cannot allow that to happen. And it can be any number of things, right? But we have to get into mind managing our thoughts. Managing our thoughts. Resisting those thoughts that are not glorifying to God. When that worry comes, speak against that worry. Speak against it. When that the devil tries to throw that sin at you, throw it back at his face. Otherwise, you're going to take it all back in and it's going to weigh you down. So where is the source of our thoughts come from? Our heart. Our heart. Mark 7, 21, 22 is for from within, out of man's heart, comes evil thoughts. Sexual immorality, thief, murder, adultery, greed, malice, whatever, whatever, whatever. Okay? James 1, 14 and 16. Each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he is dragged away and so enticed. Then after desire has conceived itself, gives birth to sin, and when sin is full grown, it's done. So don't fantasize about sin. Don't fantasize about it. So how do we change the thought pattern? By the word of God. By prayer. Spending less time on TV. More time in God's word. More time in God's word, less time playing video games. Your wife might like that too. On Facebook all the time. Well, maybe your husband would like to see you a little bit. We waste our time on foolishness. And then we wonder why we don't feel close to our husband or our wife, our boyfriend or girlfriend. Because we've lost focus. Paul exhorts us in Philippians 4, 8, and we've heard this one before. Paul exhorts us to dwell on truth, on whatever's truth, whatever's noble, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, virtue, so forth, so on. Do you have a problem with impure thoughts and daydreaming? I don't want anyone to answer that. I said to my wife on the way in, concentration. Do you ever find that that's awake concentration? Trying to stay concentrated on one thing? Our minds are bombarded by 100,000 things. I can drive to work and I can start on praying with God. Next thing I'm thinking about work. Next thing I'm thinking about church. Next thing I'm thinking about the hockey game. And like, it's just like... That's even with listening to the preaching tape that's on. Like, that's a weight, right? Because it hinders you from missing the message. Above all, sorry. So anyways, the key to replace harmful input is to replace with wholesome, positive stuff. I'm with David. In Psalm 51. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. And I went into the Message Bible, which paraphrase, whatever, and I'm not a real fan of it, but in this case I am. So I'm going to read it, and it's a few extra verses. But he says, soak me in your laundry and I'll come out clean. Scrub me and I'll have a snow white life. Tune me to foot tapping songs. Set these once broken bones to dancing. Don't look too close for blemishes. Give me a clean bill of health. God, make a fresh start in me. Shape a Genesis week from the chaos of my life. Don't throw me out with the trash or fail to breathe holiness in me. Bring me back from the gray exile. Put a fresh wind in my sails. Give me a job teaching rebels your ways so the lost can find the way home. Going through the motions doesn't please you. A flawless performance is nothing to you. I learn God worship when my pride is shattered. All this deliverance that God wants to do in our lives is not just for you. It's so we have a message to deliver the people around us. And it doesn't mean the pastor. It's us. We all have a mission field, no matter where we are at. We need to be delivered from these things so we can fulfill God's destiny for you. It may not be a pastor. It may not be a teacher. It may not be that. But it's to win the lost and to be a messenger of reconciliation. So no more dwelling on the past. Enough is enough. Don't let your past block your future. And that future will start right now, today, if you make that decision. No more poor old me. No more blaming our circumstances. No more blaming our dead mom and dad. No more carrying these weights. No more carrying that baggage of a sin you committed 60 years ago. No more. No more of it. We have to get rid of that victim mentality. We have to get rid of that negative mentality. We have to get rid of that I'm not good enough. You know what? If I had stuck on that not good enough this morning, I wouldn't be up here preaching. I tell you, the devil battled me on that the whole 4 weeks getting ready for this. Many times I go to Sylvia, I says, I'm going to call Neil and get Neil to do it. There's other people in this room that could have done a much finer job than me, have much better speech eloquency than me. And those are the thoughts, and if I had succumbed to them, I would have been sitting in the back pew this morning. But that's not my destiny. My destiny is to do what God asked me to do. My question this morning is, would you be free from the burden of sin? Would you be free from your baggage you're carrying? Would you be free from the weights? Would you be free from the battle in your mind? I'm done. We're going to show a video, so please bear with us just a few more minutes. We're ready to roll, and I'd like the worship team to come up after this. And this is the altar call. I've watched this video twice, and I was in tears both times I watched it, even yesterday for the third time. So please just...
was 9 years old. My mom and dad split up. It was a pretty big deal, but I didn't know how to talk about it. Some of my friends' parents were divorcing, and they seemed to do okay with it. But I thought my world was being ripped apart.
I just don't love you anymore.
Why can't you give this just one more try?
I started packing things away. Maybe I would run away. Maybe I just wanted to protect the things I love the most and have them close to me all the time.
Why are you being so unreasonable?
Joint custody was not my idea.
I carried my suitcase to school, friends' houses, to church, everywhere I went, really. And for a couple of years, no one saw it. Or so I thought. And then one Sunday at church, my class teacher asked me about it. She said,
Annie, looks like you're carrying a heavy load there.
I told her it wasn't heavy because it was all the things I loved. And I opened it up a little bit to show her what was inside. I tried to tell her about Little Bear and how scared he was sometimes, but instead of helping me, she gave me this big Bible, and she crammed it inside my bag, and she told me that if I would accept Jesus, everything would get better. But I never saw Jesus. I just got the Bible. And it made my bag heavier. I tried to concentrate on my schoolwork, but I couldn't. I had so many bags. I had teachers who put a lot of pressure on me.
Annie, you have so much potential.
They kept telling me how smart I was and how if I would just study more and work harder, I would make better grades and I could get into a really good college, which I really wanted to do. I know they couldn't see all that I was already carrying, so they loaded me up with all the books I would need to learn what I needed to know. There was this one kid in my math class. We talked sometimes.
Hi, Annie.
And then one day he put a gun to his head. A bunch of us attended the service, and all I could think was he probably had a lot of bags like me, and he just wanted to blow them away. Then someone told me about Jesus. I said, "Oh, no, you don't. I'm still lugging around a big Bible in this bag, and all it is heavy. No thanks." They said, "Jesus said, come to me, anyone who is tired of carrying all their bags, right? Who isn't? Come to me, and I will give you rest." How? I'm so tired. And they said,
Look.
What?
His arms.
So?
They're open.
They were nailed open.
So you could put your bags on them.
I can't.
Then lay them at his feet.
They will come off me. They will come off. I've been carrying them for so long.
Put them on him.
I can't. I can't.
Now I can trade these ashes in for beauty. Forgiveness like a crown. Come in to kiss the feet of mercy, and I lay every burden down. As we lay every burden down at the foot of the
mm-hmm.
just going to ask Bianca to lead us in this chorus. Are you ready to lay it down? Are you ready to lay it down? Don't lay it down so that you can pick it back up before the end of the day. If you want total freedom, you need to think about it. Don't just, you know, just say yes, but really think about it. Do I want to lay it down so that I won't pick it back up? Many times we've been to an altar and we've given it to Jesus, only to take it back. Jesus loves each and every one of us this morning. And I'm not sure if everybody knows Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior this morning. And that would be my first appeal. If you haven't accepted Jesus, today can be your morning. It can be your new Genesis. It can be your new beginning. But as Bianca leads us in this chorus, our beauty for ashes, if you really want to come to the cross, and take that baggage, and you're really to walk out that door and forget about it. There may be sins that we did maybe in our former life, and we might be still talking about them and how we enjoyed them. We need to get rid of that. You cannot be enjoying or thinking about the fact that you enjoyed sins in your past life. It's going to hinder you from finding your destiny. It's going to hold you back. So if you want to come this morning, the altars are open. Other brothers and sisters will come and pray for you. The prayer team, if they could pray. And if nobody comes, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. I hope that, if anything, I'm hoping that video is what did it for me. So if you missed the whole thing, what I said, that's okay. That video is what it's all about. Because there are people out there that are taking their lives because the weight is so heavy. We wonder why they do it. We wonder why they commit suicide. Because the weight is so heavy and they can't handle it. And it's unfortunate. It sometimes even happens to Christians. And it shouldn't. Because we should be there for them. So that's my appeal this morning. That if you're willing to lay that down and give to Jesus and say, I'm going to walk out of here victorious. We believe Jesus. We believe in Jesus. We know he's covered our sins. But sometimes we have a heart allowing him to get rid of that baggage. We want to hang on, like that girl says, she wants to hang on to it. So just go ahead, Bianca. Sorry.